Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
It's good to be with you, Bruce.
As part of its August e-newsletter, the Swine Health Information Center has released its monthly domestic and global swine disease surveillance reports. First of all, on the global front, what's been the most significant development and what are the implications?
Well, certainly the most significant development has been the outbreak or discovery of African swine fever in the Dominican Republic. That's certainly something that has garnered a lot of attention in the last couple of days. The Dominican Republic has had a cooperative surveillance program with USDA, where that country has banked surveillance samples from pigs that are sick or dying or dead, and feral pigs, a variety of different types of tissues and the different types of samples. They bank those and send those to USDA for testing. That's the cooperative program. And that program discovered that African swine fever was on the island of Hispaniola in the Dominican Republic, and that has been the biggest thing that we've got going on right now. It is geography. It doesn't increase the risk, I think, of entry into the U.S. or into North America, including Mexico, because of that geography. But it also is important to point out that it is geography and that there are the processes and controls in place to keep the virus out of the U.S., just like there has been since 2018, working on those things to make sure it stays away. So Customs and Border Protection, for example, and USDA are working together in making sure that there's interdictions at ports of entry where illegal products may come through, USDA's heightened up surveillance, and we're doing the things that we need to do to try to ensure as best as possible that we'll contain that virus on the island and not let it get away from Hispaniola.
What do we know about the outbreak at this point, both in terms of its scope and how it might have found its way into the Dominican Republic, and what might be expected as the situation evolves?
Yeah, one of the most important things there is the question about how it might have found its way into the DR. And the reason that's so important is because that will help to inform us about that open window that was available there to ensure that we don't have that same window in North America. And that's a work that's continuing to go on. We don't know how it got into the DR yet, but both the Dominican Republic and USDA are going to be working in concert and cooperation to try to figure that out. It may be a difficult thing to do, and there may not be a smoking gun, but certainly there's going to be a lot of work in trying to understand that, because that will help us to do better with our biosecurity. The scope of the outbreak right now, it is that it is within 11 provinces of the 30-some provinces within the country of the Dominican Republic. Initially, it was identified in two, and then just a few days later, they found that with further testing, it was in more of the provinces in the Dominican Republic. I don't know that that's really a surprise. I expect that we very well may find out in the coming days or weeks that it very well may be further spread in the DR. One of the things that we do know, though, is the Dominican Republic is stepping up with checks along routes of transportation, quarantining farms. They're doing the types of things, and even including their military, the types of things that is necessary to try to contain it. So there's a lot of activity going on down there right now, and we'll have further updates as we learn more about where the virus is, how it got there, and their efforts to try to control it.
What other global issues are being tracked at this point and why?
Well, one of the things that is good to note is that the European Food Safety Authority's panel on risk assessment for ASF spread is being shared. They focused on the risk of spreading ASF through outdoor pig farms, and certainly with their experience, especially in Eastern Europe, where the virus is in their feral pigs, is in wild boar in Eastern Europe, that continues to pose a risk for pigs, for commercial pigs, especially those in outdoor pig farms. And that's one of the recent outcomes is the discovery of ASF in a couple of farms in Germany with that type of production. So that's a first incursion of ASF into German commercial production. They have acted very quickly to contain it, to eradicate those farms, the pigs from those farms, and make sure that they're doing everything they can to prevent its spread and further commercial. But I think that's an illustration of the importance of this risk assessment and of attention for biosecurity in farms that raise pigs outdoors, especially because they may have the opportunity for contact with feral pigs. Now, we don't have that in North America. I want to emphasize that we don't have ASF in feral pigs in North America. So we don't have that risk at this point because we don't have the virus. But it is an example of making sure that we learn all the lessons we can learn about this virus and the way it spreads and the way it moves within pig populations in those countries that have it in within their borders.
What have we been seeing domestically of note?
One of the interests, one of the primary interests, is this PERS 144 variety that has caused an outbreak in the upper Midwest in the U.S. This is a specific line of PERS 144. I know that we've been finding 144 in pigs for quite a while. There are routine analyses of PERS viruses that are causing outbreaks, and 144 is not a surprise. But what's happened is we've got a variant of that specific strain, and it's called the line of 1C. So it's a 144 lineage 1C variant that has caused quite a bit of concern, of outbreaks, high losses in farms in North Central U.S. And there is some continuing of that spread, especially in the wean to market age category. Through the summer now, we ran into another peak in late spring, early summer, the April, May, June period. That's starting to decline. Still some movement of 1441C in wean to market sites, but it's starting to decline through the summer. The real issue here now is the question about what do we need to plan for the PERS season that will come up starting in late fall, and all of the things about biosecurity, about communication, about learning more about this variant virus is going to help us hopefully be better prepared for the PERS season as we go into late fall and early winter in 2021 and 22.
How may this particular variant be addressed both in terms of prevention and potentially diagnosis by producers?
Yeah, so there's a few points there. One is prevention. And as far as we know right now, but we're still doing some more work specifically on 1441C. But as far as we know right now, it looks like the preventive biosecurity issues for PERS can apply to this variant as well. It simply applies to this variant also. The Swine Health Information Center did some rapid response team investigations on some farms with this outbreak. And what was discovered was that the most likely pathways of entry onto these farms for these outbreaks was not unusual for PERS. It was a matter of area spread. It was a matter of perhaps aerosol. There was some movement of people that probably helped with that. And we did present a webinar about this area spread and about the rapid response team results. And if anybody's interested in that, they can find the link to the webinar that was done just during June about the results of those investigations. And that can be found on the swinehealth.org website. What we've learned about control, about response to this variant, is that it is also like other PERS viruses, that it seems to be responsive to the usual types of control methods where the farms are closed. Some reports from the field say that it is more persistent on the farm than there has been experience with other viruses. But overall, I think that the success of closing the farm has been relatively good. There have been some instances where I know the veterinarians and producers have decided to do depopulations and repopulate farms because of it. So the important thing here for producers, I think, is to make sure they're in good contact and good communication with their veterinarian about all things biosecurity, as well as about plans for response should they get that variation of the PERS virus.
Several new resources have been added to the Swine Health Information Center website or updated. What should producers be aware of in terms of these resources and why?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is continuing to pay attention to emerging disease information. Back in 2016, I think, was when we first released a series of fact sheets about viruses that potentially could cause emerging diseases in the swine herds. Those fact sheets included things like chikungunya virus, for example. They included sapalovirus. They included Japanese encephalitis virus, high path PERS, Ebola. I mean, some of those viruses are probably new names to a lot of producers. But the issue here is to make sure that we are prepared with resources that can be quickly accessed about new things that may be coming at the industry. And we've gone through those since 2016. We're continually updating those to make sure that we have the most up-to-date information in those fact sheets. And those are available on the swinehealth.org website. So some of those may be of interest as a point of information. Certainly they'd be of interest should we get emerging diseases. And I want to make sure that people are aware of those fact sheets and those contents. It's a variety of different viruses. Most probably we will, and hopefully we won't have to use most, or I'm hopeful none of them, but should they be needed, they are available, and they're available on swinehealth.org.
How are producers expected to make use of these resources, and how frequently?
Yeah, the fact sheets are built such that within the first page or page and a half, there is the information, just the bullet point information of the things that people need to know right now. So it talks about, for example, a bullet point, it's kind of the Cliff's Notes of the whole fact sheet. It talks about how these viruses could be transmitted, about how they cleaning and disinfecting, about their pathogenicity and their effect in pigs, what you can look for in pigs if they're infected with these viruses, that kind of information. And then behind that is a full literature review of all of the information that's available. So what we've tried to do is we've tried to build it so it's usable to a variety of different audiences. It's usable for producers and veterinarians on the farm, and that can quickly find out facts about a new infection that the diagnostic lab may find. And it's also useful for diagnosticians and for researchers with the complete literature review that follows. I'm hopeful that we don't have any of these as an emerging disease in North America, but we've got to be prepared should we have some. And that's one of the lessons we learned from the PED outbreak. We needed to put together very quickly in response to the PED outbreak in 2013, what people needed to know about its epidemiology and its control. What we've tried to do with these fact sheets is preload the industry with the ability to get to that information right away should something happen, something new, something novel be identified through our diagnostic laboratories.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, I think another example of the Swine Health Information Center looking for emerging issues is and emerging diseases is the look at rotavirus in the U.S. Through the University of Kentucky, the Gluck Equine Research Center, a novel rotavirus in foals was identified. And this was a new one. It was one that in foals hadn't been seen before, and it was discovered, and it was causing quite a problem in horses. The question that we posed for a panel of rotavirus experts in the swine industry is, what does that mean for the risk of that rotavirus moving over from horses into pigs? Their response was very, very unlikely, which was good news. I mean, that's really good news. But I think it's an illustration of the types of things we're trying to do with the Swine Health Information Center in staying on top of new reports, staying on top of emerging disease issues, and trying to understand risks and preparedness for the industry should we have a novel emerging disease. So I just want to make sure people are aware of that. The reports of that, those types of things are all on the swinehealth.org website, as well as available when that information comes up through our monthly newsletter. And the way that people can subscribe to the newsletter that comes out once a month in your inbox would be, again, through the swinehealth.org website.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bruce. It's always good to visit with you.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.